The European Union and the United States are meeting in Brussels this week to negotiate a new trade deal. Everything from tariffs to Ukraine are being discussed, but representatives also will address another issue, cheese. The European Union wants Americans to stop putting labels on cheese that are Parmesan or feta. They say Parmesan comes from Parma, Italy, and only from Parma, Italy. Joshua Meltzer is a fellow in the Global Economy and Development at the Brookings Institution. He focuses on international trade laws and policy issues. I asked him if he thought this issue was economic or trade issue.
So I think it's both, certainly. The view in the US, and not only the US, but in other so-called new worlds, it also is true of Canada, Australia, South Africa, which have replicated the processes, whether it is making wine in a particular way, making cheese in a particular way, would argue that feta is feta as long as it's made using a particular process. The EU views this as not a necessarily true, so there is both a branding issue in terms of how consumers understand the product they're buying. The EU would argue that, in fact, consumers expect feta to come from a particular region in Greece. And it's competitiveness, because obviously, industries have developed outside of the EU which are marketing themselves as producing these types of products and which are competing with European products.
Why has this become an issue now?
Well, it's actually been an ongoing issue that's come up regularly in the context of the negotiations in the World Trade Organization, where the US and the EU have taken very different positions on this. And it's a strategy that the EU has pursued in all of its free trade agreements, trying to enshrine the right for geographical indicators and limiting when they can be used. And the US similarly has also made sure that in its trade agreements, it's also provided the right to use those names, even if they don't come from that particular region.
We're talking about the United States. Has Canada already entered into an agreement on the use of names with the EU?
So Canada has recently concluded a trade agreement with the EU, which includes some scope and recognition of the use of geographical indicators.
How is the EU regulating the use of names and geographic locations?
So the EU has a register of geographical indicators, which need to be checked against if you want to register a new trademark. And if in fact the geographical indicator is on that register, the trademark authority in the other country agrees not to register that trademark.
What is the U.S. Concern when it comes to entering into agreement like this with the EU?
Well, the concern is that a lot of industry make products which have been branded as whether it's feta or Parmesan or a range of other agricultural products, but it's not only agricultural products, sometimes it's also in the manufacturing sector as well, that claim to be of a particular type. And so the view is that, as long as it follows a particular formula, again, referring back to our previous example, feta is feta, whether or not it comes from a particular region in Greece, and that by having to rebrand, it will actually confuse consumers, not give them greater certainty. The US view is that consumers don't understand feta as coming from a particular region, but actually just being a type of cheese made in a particular way. And if you start having to call it something else because it's not actually from feta, then not only will consumers be confused and there will be a competitive disadvantage, the industry will suffer quite significantly.
Some very heavy issues are on the table with these talks. Tariffs, climate change, Ukraine, things that are much bigger than cheese, it would seem, at least from my vantage point. So first of all, why is this such a big deal to the EU? And second, how likely is it that the EU and the US negotiators are going to reach agreement?
So it's one of the significant issues in the context of the negotiation because a lot of European products can claim a particular geographic region to identify them, and so the potential in terms of industry and value and exports is fairly large for the EU. The US, interestingly, also has its own industry, which to some extent is beginning to view geographical indicators themselves as useful. One example might be Idaho potatoes, Vidalia onions, and the movement to sort of more small food artisan production is also seeing the value of being able to identify their production or their food or goods as coming from a particular region in the United States. So there is an industry in the US which I think is probably more on board and consistent with the EU position on geographical indicators anyway. So there might be some space there to, you know, expand a little bit on when geographical indicators can be applied. And this might be the space where there's some room for compromise.
So are you expecting to see an agreement on this?
On geographical indicators?
Yes.
Well, certainly there'll have to be an outcome on it one way or another in the context of the negotiations between the US and EU, but I certainly don't see the United States accepting the broad EU position on geographical indicators.
That was Joshua Meltzer of the Brookings Institute. He mentioned the marketability of geographical indicators. Americans think of feta as a type of cheese, not the place where cheese is made. Rhonda Gothberg is very interested in this issue. She's the founder of Gothberg Farms in the Skagit Valley. She's been making and selling her own cheese for more than 10 years. Rhonda currently makes 36 kinds, including those she calls Parmesan, feta, and Gouda. I asked her how this decision would affect her business.
Well, I would just have to change my names. I've got some of my names are my own that don't reflect any of the European origins. I would have to retool all of my labels, which is pretty expensive.
Right. So what do you call something that looks like and tastes like Parmesan, for example, if you don't call it Parmesan?
I would have to make up a name. One of my cheeses is, and it's a Manchego cheese, a Manchego-style cheese, and I call it Woman of La Mancha.
That's a good one.
Because we're all women and our goats are La Manchas, and, you know, anyway.
Well, that makes sense. So,
people don't know what it is, and so they say, oh, well, what does it taste like? Because if I don't have a sample out, I say, well, it's a Manchego-style cheese. You know, I have to explain it based on the European origins. You know, they expect a Gouda to taste like a Gouda.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Do you do most of your marketing direct where you do provide samples for people? So do you feel like you'd have to be out there if all the things had names like Woman of La Mancha or whatever you're going to choose for all these various cheeses, and you make a lot of different kinds of cheeses, do you think you'd have to be more assertive in those sorts of face-to-face marketing efforts?
I do, and I would still have to tell people, you know, I'm following a Dutch Gouda recipe here because my Gouda recipe came straight from the Netherlands. It was made for goat milk. A friend of mine, big, well-known cheesemaker, translated it for me and shared it with me. I mean, it's the real recipe. It's just not made in the Netherlands.
Skagit Valley cheesemaker Rhonda Gothberg. U.S. and European trade negotiators meet in Brussels this week and next. Cheese labeling is one of many items on the table. This is The Record from KUOW. With David Hyde, I'm Marcy Silman.